Our reading tonight is from the New Testament, and continuing our studies in the Gospel of John, we come to chapter 15. John's Gospel and chapter 15. Let us read and hear God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Amen, and may God add his blessing to that reading of his own holy word. We continue praise, this time from the words of Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and at verse 23. Reading these and singing these words in the light of our reading there from John 15. A good man's footsteps by the Lord are ordered aright, and in the way wherein he walks he greatly doth delight. Although he fall, yet shall he not be cast down utterly, because the Lord with his own hand upholds him mightily. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I never seen the just man left, nor that his seed for bread have beggars been. He's ever merciful and lends, his seed is blessed therefore. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For God loves judgment, and his saints leaves not in any case. They are kept ever, but cut off shall be the sinner's race. 37:23-28, five stanzas, a good man's footsteps by the Lord. Would you come back with me to the portion we read there, to John's Gospel, chapter 15, and the illustration that he uses for these opening verses I want us to think of tonight. But if one verse particularly want to focus on is verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We have over these past weeks been looking at the experience of the disciples with the Lord in the upper room, and from chapter 13 and 14, the way in which the Lord was teaching and preparing them for what was to come. And at the end of chapter 14, we see the intimation, let's get out, go, come on. A change is taking place at the end of chapter 14. They're passing through the vineyard on their way to the garden. And that's why the Lord has singled out particularly this illustration to give them yet more teaching and preparation for what is to come. They were sitting around a table for two chapters. Now they're walking and moving along the road. While they were sitting around the table, there was a discussion taking place, and questions and answers were going around the table, one from the other. All the while, the Lord was in control, preparing them. But now, it's the Lord that does the talking. The major part of preparation and the major part of the teaching is now over. What remains, as is recorded for us by John in his Gospel, will be building on what has already been laid down. The furniture, the foundation has been put in place in these two chapters. And the Lord will come back and revisit them and refresh them and apply these truths to their heart. He's already spoken, for example, about the Comforter. Chapter 16 speaks about the coming of the Comforter. And yet, despite the name Comforter, what is the ministry of the Comforter but to disturb? What's he going to do? He's going to come and he's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And again, we see the wisdom of the Lord that indeed that is the path of comfort that the Lord brings to his people, to first of all discover to them what they're like and what they need. But later on, it's going to be the Comforter's ministry to the disciples, bringing back to the remembrance the things which the Lord has already given to them. The Lord has also spoken about the timetable of his coming and of his going, and the disciples couldn't make sense of it. But again, that's going to be revisited in chapter 16, verse 16. Later on in chapter 16, 23, he speaks about prayer. And again, that's building on what he said in chapter 14, 13. And then at the very end of this verse, of this chapter 27, he says, of chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I give or I leave with you. And that very theme and topic of peace is again visited at the end of chapter 16. So you can see the way in which the crucial work has been done. The Lord has sat with them round the table and he's taught them. He's shown them their weaknesses and their deficiencies, and he has tried to fill them in, giving them a more of an understanding of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen to him, involving them. Nothing more, or at least nothing more that is new, is to be given. So therefore, what's the effect of all that has been said so far? What's the effect of all that teaching, these two chapters, on these disciples? The intention of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord, is that they should understand, that they would therefore grow in their Christian faith, that they would mature in their Christian character. That's the intention, the immediate intention of the Lord, because that is going to be needed so soon for them. The world is going to come crashing about their heads in a few hours. The world is going to come crashing about their heads in a few hours. They are going to be carried along on a maelstrom of events that they're not going to be in control of, and they're not going to understand. And the Lord has taken them aside deliberately to prepare them, to teach them to understand why and what is going to happen. And the image of the vineyard with the keeper, the husbandman, what does he do to the vineyard? He goes and he feeds each one of these plants so that these plants would produce more vines. What's the Lord been doing with his disciples? He's been giving them food so that they produce fruit, even although this maelstrom is going to come about their heads. So yes, that's one effect of this teaching, that they be mature, that they get stronger, they grow in their Christian knowledge, understanding, and in their faith. And now he comes to another intention. Now, in these words, verse 4 especially, the Lord is giving to them and to us very practical advice. He's got another lesson for them, for us all. And it comes down to one simple word: abide. That was the concern of the Lord, and so it becomes the theme on which he speaks to them, and he speaks to us tonight. Abide in me. The contrast: Judas, what did he do? He didn't abide. Away he went. Later on, the Lord is going to speak about the shepherd being smitten and what's going to happen when the shepherd is going to be smitten. The sheep are going to be scattered. He's going to be alone. They're going to be alone. How then are they going to get together? How are they going to keep their balance? How are they going to survive in testing circumstances? How are we just going to keep going when we have that kind of a storm breaking around our feet? How are we going to survive in our day and in our age in the face of so much that is ranged against us? Even coming down to a very personal level, when we are alone with ourselves, when we're fighting with our own hearts, what and who can we turn to keep us going? The only one with the strength adequate to that demand is the Lord Jesus Christ. When the going gets tough, when grit and stickability are needed, what is it that we can call on? Who can we call on? What strength can we tap into? There's no human need that meets it. We don't have any resource equal to it. The only thing that comes back to us time and time and time again to the echo is the simple teaching of verse 4. Abide in me. And that's all I want us to think of tonight. From them, for ourselves. The first thing I want us to think of very simply is, what is the foundation of the Christian's life? Where is the Christian? Where are these believers? Where are these down through the years? What's our status? Yes, we are to abide, but we are to abide in Christ. Remember what we're thinking of this morning in Colossians, the way in which Paul's focus, as he spoke time and time again to these people, he says, what's the one thing that they need in the face of all of the temptations, subtle as they were, that came against them in Corinth? What in Colossae, what was the one thing that they needed? Christ in you. Here it comes to us again, that vital and real and living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am his, and he is mine. I rely upon him for the issues of my soul to all eternity. I seek to remain close by him, not to stray from him, and I rest content without any hankering after anything else, because I have discovered the greatest delight to the Christian soul comes from being with the Lord. The foundation of our Christian life is in him. That's the way we started out on our Christian path. Right at the very beginning of our Christian life, we discovered that no one else could help us but Christ as Savior. And we abandon ourselves to him with a full and total commitment, because that's the greatest thing that we needed, and that's the greatest thing we discovered. The way in which the Lord met us fresh and new that first time. The peace that we found to our souls. The words of the Lord that were so fresh, so fresh. The way in which dependence upon him, utter dependence upon him, we were never let down and we were never disappointed. We were constantly leaning upon him in these first days of our Christian life. And as it was at the start, so it will continue to be. The same principle applies. The secret strength that we need, the vigor that we require, how we're going to retain our joy, how we're going to retain our beauty, our fertility, how we're going to retain every aspect of our Christian life. How? One source only. By abiding in the Lord. It matters not what demands might come our way. Your life, my life, would totally different in what we're going to face tomorrow. Whatever is in store for us the days of this week to come. Every one of us different in our character, different in our memories, different in our experiences. But the one thing it takes us together, and the one thing where we're utterly common, is that every one of us we need, and we've tasted, and we want more of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are. And how do we work that out in a practical way in our Christian living tomorrow, days to come? We walk by faith. We keep our eye fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what we were taught again at the communion season with Mr. McLean, who for the joy that was before him set his face steadfastly on the way, on the things that were to come, going through all of the wrath, going through all of the suffering, the way in which the Lord gave us that example to follow. So we have to follow it, keeping our eye fixed upon the Lord and relying and depending upon Him. Because today in our society, the watchword is you've got to be self-reliant. You've got to be your own master. Destiny is in your own hands and you've got to work out your own destiny. Not state control, but the people back in control of their own lives. That kind of approach is deadly in the Christian life. The whole of our life is fixed not on ourselves, what I want, where I want to go, what I want to be. That's no longer important. Much more so, what does the Lord want me to be? What has the Lord got in store for me? Where is He wanting me to go and what is He wanting me to do? What's His purpose? What's His investment? What's His interest? Walking by faith, not by the things and the pressures and the demands round about us, not even by the things of ourselves, but walking fixed upon the Lord Himself and what He would have us to be. Many will try to knock us away from that perspective. Many will try to blur our vision and blot out our sight. Many will try to bring doubt on anything possible to, in some way, spoil that perspective on life. But we walk dependent, determined, not by what's about us, but always referring and relating things back to the Lord. We abide in Him. What then does He want me to do? We walk as His word shows us and guides us. Oh yes, we have indeed a freedom. There is a freedom that is given to the Lord's people in Jesus Christ. We're free from fear. We're free from death. We're free from terror in meeting God. We're free from guilt within, but that freedom doesn't allow us to do what we want now. We are to live for the Lord our God who has done so much for us. We are to live by the teaching that He gives us in this book. People will say to us today, oh, come on. If you live that way, you're cramping your lifestyle. Come on, if you live yourself with these kind of restrictions and close restrictions upon you, your life is going to be only 1 inch deep all the way through life. But just listen to again what we were singing there in Psalm 19. What's it like to live according to the teaching of God's word? It's like having gold in your hands and honey in your taste. Now, these are rooted deep experiences in the Christian's life. When our roots go deep into the Bible, there and there alone we will find real life and true freedom. Don't listen to those that would try to draw you away. Walk in God's word. And when we do, we will find God's company with us. It is, after all, the map of our life, a map to take us through life. And again, we totally, constantly have to remind ourselves, people will come and say, take a shortcut here and a shortcut there. And shortcuts only get you into trouble. Abide in Christ, looking to Him, walking in His word. But one last thought before we move on. We have to walk in love. Verse 9 tells us, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. We are there given the example of the Lord to follow, the way in which he was so self-giving. He thought of no one else but himself. Come what may, whatever the cost was. That's the distinctive feature of Christ, and that's the distinctive feature that has to be upon the church also. We're told in verse 35 of chapter 13, by this shall all men know. It's a testimony to others. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What is it? If you have love one for another, that care, concern for each other, whatever the cost. Seeking the highest good for those who are round about us with whom we have dealings. Only seeking to bring the very best to them. To do the will of our Lord who has done so much for us. The Lord who has given his very life that we would go free. Yes, we are to walk in love. As the Lord shows us his love for his people, whatever the cost that meant for him, so we are to take that same template and example for our behavior as we relate one to the other today. And the reason why I'm mentioning it deliberately so just now is because I cannot but see the perfect timing of the Lord. We started this study in John's Gospel back in the 15th of January. There was nothing then about retiring or any of the plans that are unfolding over the next few weeks. But in these next few weeks, as a congregation, you're going to face significant disturbance. You're going to be unsettled. You're going to be, in one degree or another, apprehensive about the future. You're going to be very like these disciples. Not with the same intensity, but you're going to be on the same road. And this word coming to us tonight is stay within God's word. Keep trusting and relying upon the Lord. He's never let you down in the 24 years that we've been together. And we've been through so many different temptations and trials. Yes, there have been times when it's been like a maelstrom about us. The Lord has never let us down. And he's not going to start now. But particularly there's this theme about loving one another. That was appropriate for the disciples because their lives were going to be turned upside down. And they were all going to abandon the Lord. Oh, but especially Peter. Oh, listen to what he said. Can you see what he did? He was over the top. Peter, oaths and curses about the Lord. And there was the potential there of a falling out with the rest of the disciples. And the Lord was aware of what was going to happen. And so the Lord particularly brings this out for them. Love one another. Think of it then. As you go forward as a congregation, there is the very same potential there of falling out in the months of the vacancy. There's always the danger, always the threat. The devil is going to come in and try to divide and conquer and split and such like. And the words here are so appropriate to us all. Stay close to the Lord. And so you will stay close to each other. Lean on him and draw from him. That's the foundation of the Christian's life. Abiding in the Lord. But not only do we have that, two other thoughts I want to take, not at any great length. But we also have here spoken by the Lord the pruning of the husbandman. Left to itself, a vine will produce a lot of unproductive growth. It needs to be cut back, and it needs to be cut back hard. for that fruitfulness, there has to be an extensive pruning. If you go to any of the vineyards, especially in France and in such places, in November, you'll see that these plants that were so lush and leaf and in clusters of grapes in the summertime, they are cut back so dramatically and drastically. And that's the way they're going to produce next year a crop for the use of the husbandman. You must not allow the strength, the energy to run riot with a plant. Equally, you must not allow that strength, energy to run riot in the Christian life. Things have got to be cut out. Things have got to be trimmed to produce fruit. And that's not automatic. That's why the Lord speaks about the pruning that the husbandman makes. That's why the Father prunes your life and mine. Malachi talks about the refining fires. And that's what we need. Sometimes it's strenuous. Often it can be severe. Remember what the Lord says to bring that home to us. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's that severe. Whatever offends, be it ever so near, be it ever so dear to you or to me, it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with to produce that fruit that the Lord looks for within us. It's not making excuses or it's not making arrangements to explain away this and that in our life. Paul, when he spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26, he speaks about the discipline that he imposed upon himself, the way in which the Lord was dealing with Paul to make him effective in God's service. He speaks about shadow boxing. That's the image and illustration that is used. He says, I'm not engaging in shadow boxing. For his discipline, he needs to land real punches to overcome the opponents in his life. The Christian life is a battlefield then. There's indwelling sin, there's pressures, there's temptations. The society we're living in will constantly try to, in one way or another, bring sorrow, sadness, and spoiling into the Christian's life. We need to be pruned. We need to be refined. We need to be purified. And we always have to come back to what we said just a moment ago. The love of the Lord to us. And the way in which we love him in return. Sin is a serious matter. Sin is what took our Lord to the cross. And if it was that serious to the Lord, I dare not treat it in any less a way. He takes me in hand. He takes you in hand. He progressively twists, turns, trims, stepping up the severity where necessary and appropriate, until we heed the lesson that he has for us. He will trim us in our Christian life and witness and character to be more and more like to his Son. But if at the end, or through the process it comes to an end, we are not heeding what he says, that's the very thing that is also spoken of in verse 2. We are not listening. There's no root of the matter in that person. And so the Lord says, that very branch is cast out and is burnt up. The pruning the Father engages in. It's not just comfort to the Christian. It's not just comfort to understand what the Lord is doing. It's a warning. What are we doing with the patience of God's dealings with us? What are we doing with the intervention that the Lord makes into your life and mine day after day, addressing, pointing out this or that that has to be dealt with? The root has gone down deep over many years of cultivation, and it has to be wormed out and dug out. Particular sin, particular whatever it might be in our life, but it has to be dealt with. That's what the Lord is saying to these people, these disciples. Oh yes, they have this great hope. They had this great hope that there was going to be a successor to David. There was a great Messiah that was going to come, and he was going to behave, and he was going to do things exactly like David had done. He was going to free them from the Roman Empire. He was going to establish a kingdom in Israel. He was going to establish a temple to worship God, just like David had done. That was deep, 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 deep down in their thinking. And it had to be wormed out. It had to be dug out. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are God's ways our ways. That had to be changed, because the thought of Messiah and the kingdom that he was going to establish wasn't a physical material thing. It was a spiritual thing. Wherever he reigned on the throne of a life, that person was a subject in his kingdom. That's the thinking of the Messiah, God's Messiah. And it was at variance with theirs. It had to be dug out. So it is with ourselves in so many different issues that have taken deep root in our lives. The pruning of the Father of his people. And one last thought I want us to think of. What's the evidence of this pruning that is engaged in? What's the evidence of this abiding in Christ? What's the effect of staying close to the Lord and walking in his ways? Two simple thoughts come out of his words tonight. Verse 7, first of all. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There is a powerful effect in prayer from being close and abiding in Christ. Because when we're with a person, when you spend long time with a person, you begin to understand what that person's thinking and how that person's getting on. You know their will and their desires, their sentiments. You know their plans, you know their purposes. And that will mold the way you pray and what you pray for. We're not strangers that turn to the Lord just in a moment and for a moment. That kind of approach in prayer will not achieve much. But when we spend time in his company, when we're there morning, noon and night, then we will have an understanding of what he wants and his desires are. And so the prayers will be molded. Remember Elijah. Elijah introduced himself as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. He was so conscious of being constantly in the presence of God. So he prayed, and he prayed effectually, and his prayers were answered in the most dramatic of ways. If we spend time with the Lord, abiding with him, then we too will be like Elijah, mighty prayer warriors for and in our land. Not only there will be a prayerful effect, but verse 11, we also speak, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Like we said a moment ago, one of the greatest lies, the greatest attacks that come upon us in these days is when we speak about the Christian's life, they will tell us, oh, the Christian's life, it's dull, it's drab, it's dreary. But here the Lord is telling us nothing of that at all. When we stay close by the Lord, when we know His newness every morning ministering to us, when we see the examples of His faithfulness in ministering to us day after day, His mercies, His love, His provision, His promises, when we experience these things coming into our lives, are they not the source of joy to our soul? The greatest joy of all. Before we came to know the Lord, we were looking for that joy. Something to give our life significance and point and purpose. Why am I continuing to breathe? Why am I still here? Where's the joy in living today? We never found it until we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the best friend of the soul of His people. His touch brings health and healing, saving forgiveness. His words encourage and strengthen us. He is the one who ministers to us that which we've looked for so long, that deep joy, the gift the world doesn't know anything about, and the world cannot touch or take from us. The joy in our heart which comes from abiding in Christ. So the important thing then is, closing off this evening, the important thing is first of all that we must be a Christian. Are we tonight? Is that our spiritual status, and is that the way the Lord looks down upon us? Not what man might think. Not what man might say. We're too influenced by peer pressure or peer sentiment. No. What does God say about me and about you? Are we Christian? And if we are, then the second thing that comes out of our message tonight is that we're to live as Christians. That means simply that we abide ever closer to the one who has done so much for our soul. The Christian life, back to what we said at the very beginning, there's going to be turmoils coming upon us as it came upon them. And as the turmoils came upon them and come upon us, so the same directive is given to them. And as appropriate to us. What's the answer down through the years for the maelstrom that life might hold or throw at us? What's the answer that is precious, rich, fulfilling and meaningful? The answer is given there in our text tonight. Abide in me. And I in you. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless Thee for the way in which Thou, who art the one enthroned in the heavens, the earth being Thy footstool, yet Thou art the one who doth single out, approach to, and speaks with each and every one of Thy people. And the way in which Thou dost minister Thy word and apply it to us all, however different we might be. Lord, may we learn very quickly along the Christian path that the one great joy, the one source of strength, the one thing that gives peace and rest to the soul that has been troubled is simply to stay close, to walk softly and humbly with our Lord, our God, and Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Make these things to be so for us, O Lord. And may we know the rich blessing that comes from applying thy truth to us in these days, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and at verse 12. But like the palm tree flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grow that is in Lebanon. Those that within the house of God are planted by his grace, they shall grow up and flourish all in our God's secret place. And in old age, when others fade, they fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be fat and full of sap, and aye be flourishing. To show that upright is the Lord, he is a rock to me, and he from all unrighteousness is altogether free. 92 from 12 to the end, but like the palm tree flourishing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.